Okay, let me just bring you a bit of a... Okay, let's see. All right, let me just give you... You know, we started 2021. We've been declaring the light of God is shining upon our lives, shining in the church. And God is showing us the way. And first of all, God is unveiling His glory. We talk a lot about being able to see, not with our own physical eyes, but with the eyes of our hearts to behold the beauty of Jesus. And we've talked a lot about the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ. Unveil my eyes to see. Unveil to me how I can touch the things of the Spirit. All right, but the Lord is also unveiling, revealing the sons of God. These sons of God, you are a son of God. We are sons of God. Jesus is these only begotten Son of God, but we are children of God, sons and daughters of the Almighty. And when I say by revealing the sons of God, there is a revealing that's going to take place when Jesus returns. Those that have been rise with a resurrected body. But even now, God is wanting to arise out of us and to manifest His life from within us. So today I want to talk to you about this. I want to talk to you about one in thoughts, one in thought, one in word, and one, I'm going to say this again, it says one in thoughts, one in word, and one in deeds. All right, I'm going to take that one more time. I'm going to say this again. I'm going to talk about being one in thoughts, one in words, and one in deeds. And what do I mean by that? Okay, because the thoughts and the words and the things that we do determines the person we are, right from within, right from the inside, right to the outside. Is that right? So what am I thinking? What am I saying? And what am I doing, in other words? Is it one with God or is it one with something else? Let me give you the context. Why are we talking about one in thought, one in word, one in deed? We want to be one in the thoughts of God, one in the deeds of God, and one in the words of God. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 27, as we know it, and we don't really need to read it, but it says this in Genesis, that God created man. He says, let us make man in our own image and in our own likeness. You remember that? So God created us with the intention, I mean, with the purpose of us being in His image and being in His likeness. So in what way? All right? In what way? So Romans chapter 8, verse 28 to 29, I'm going to read those two verses here. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined. Predestined for what? To be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. So what am I saying? I'm saying, what is the will of God? It is for us, the intention of God is to be conformed into the very image and likeness of God. Now, I know you're going to think, well, I know that already. We've heard this many, many times. But I'm going to bring some things that I believe God has been personally challenging me in many ways. In many, many ways. I'm going to get to that through the course of this message. But what do we mean by being like Jesus? What do we mean by being like Jesus? But you know, all of us can say, well, I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. I'm determined. I'm self-determined to be like Jesus. But let's look at the method we want to talk about today. So the whole idea is we're going to be forming the image and likeness of Jesus in thoughts, in words, and in deeds. Everybody say in thoughts, in words, and in deeds. If you can do it with me, it might help, right? In thoughts, in words, and in deeds. All right, you can do this. Come on, kids, children, you can do it with me. Come on, one, two, three. In words, in thoughts, in words, and in deeds. To be like Jesus, right? That's what we're talking about here. But how? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 to 18, it says, nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. All right, so there's an unveiling of the glory, okay? are being transformed in the same image. And that's the revealing of the sons of God I'm talking about here this morning. Transforming to the same image from glory to glory. How? Just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Everybody say Spirit of the Lord. So we're being transformed in the same image according to the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ, His Son, by the Spirit of the Lord. And that is the key of what I'm trying to say this morning here. That's the cry of my heart. To be like Jesus once again in thoughts, in words, and in deeds. Look at what it says in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 10. It says this, I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. So can you see here? The heart, the mind, the thoughts, and his ways and his doing, his words and his deeds, his actions, how he speaks and what he does. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 to 17, it says this, and I'm only quoting a few verses, but you can find a lot more in the scriptures. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in, everybody say word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when we say in the name of Jesus, in the name, I'm going to do this in the name of Jesus, it's not just words for us to say in the name of Jesus. When you come in the name of someone, you're representing that person. You know what I'm saying? So, for example, school children or students, when they go to school and they need to wear a uniform, I've always been told that as long as you wear the school uniform after school, even though you're outside of school boundaries, you're still representing the school because of the uniform you're wearing. Do you know what I'm saying here? So they represent the school. And if the students are misbehaving, it's representing what the school, representing the school because they are wearing the uniform. Do you see how that reflects the school? So in the same way, we are to represent Him. We are Christ's representatives. So in the things that we do or the things that we say, when we come in the name of God, we are representing Him, meaning we're coming in the same likeness, same nature, same ways to represent Him accurately. Is that right? So in word and in deed, what do we mean by doing things in word and deed in the name of Jesus? So let me say this. We're going to cover these three things. And I hope that you will be blessed. As I share this, I'm not preaching this at you or to you. I'm preaching it to me as much as I'm saying it to you this morning. But these are the things that I am being challenged, especially when we get to the third point. I will get to that in a moment. But the first thing is one in thought. One in thought. I'm going to read Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 to 3. It says this. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. Why don't you say it with me, the Spirit of wisdom. Spirit of wisdom. Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. I know oftentimes we quote the first two verses because it's, you know, we talk about the different aspects of the Holy Spirit here. But I want to bring in the rest of that verse to it. It says, verse 3, it says, his delight is in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. And why is that important? What am I thinking? The question is. The thoughts that run in my mind, is my mind thinking my thoughts or is it God's thoughts? The Spirit of wisdom, understanding. How do I understand Him? What wisdom am I operating forth? Whose counsel am I depending on? Is it my own counsel? Is that my own plans? Is it my own purposes? Is it my own planning of my future? Or is it the counsel of God? The might, the strength, the power to do something. Is it my own strength or is it God's? The Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. What's important to understand is when we talk about these things, oftentimes we do things or we think things on the basis of what we see with our eyes and hear with our ears. Is that right? But here the verse is saying, do not, you shall not judge by the sight of the eyes, nor decide by the hearing of the ears. Why? Because we are depending on the Holy Spirit. We're depending on His wisdom, not earthly wisdom. We're depending on the understanding that comes from the Holy Spirit and not ours. So when we talk about one in thought, I'm going to verbalize some of the points I've got on the screen here under that first point. It says this, I'm going to read it. It says, we're talking about the mind of Christ, the mind of the Lord. We're talking about the wisdom of God. We're talking about the understanding of God, the knowledge of God, the counsel of God, the plans and the purposes of God. We're talking about the will of God. We're talking about the thoughts and the ways of God. We're talking about the fear of the Lord. One in thought. What am I thinking? And so how do we do this? How do we receive the things from the Holy Spirit? Well, there's only one way. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 to 16. It says this, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Now, do you think that this verse is talking about you still? Okay, I think the mask is refraining from speech, okay? Hey, but by the way, we believe in free speech, right? This is not to say you can't speak. Okay, it's a joke, by the way, all right, in case you didn't get it. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, all right. So, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. So, ears have not heard, nor ears, eyes have not seen, ear heard. Well, it's true. It has been like this for a very long time. But I would like to see something a little bit beyond. I don't think God is putting us in that category much longer. Because He's saying, this is the truth that you have. What truth do you have? Verse 10. But God has. Everybody say, but. So formerly, yes, I didn't see, I didn't hear. But He says, but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has known the mind of the Lord? That he may instruct him, But we have the mind of Christ. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who? Tell me who. Who has known the mind of the Lord? The Holy Spirit. Who has known the mind of Christ? The Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit I'm trying to emphasize to you, is the key, I believe, this morning. We want to know things. It's the whole key. I just want to talk about the Holy Spirit. We talk about being one in thought, one in words, one in deeds. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. So how do I receive these things? But note how it says, but God has revealed them. Why does God reveal it to us? Because we have the Holy Spirit in us. So in us, where the Holy Spirit lives, we have access. Everyone say, we have access. But are all of my thoughts God's thoughts? No, not necessarily, right? And in fact, not always. In fact, perhaps far from it. But because the Holy Spirit has been given to us, we have access to this revelation. Can you say amen? So how do I know the things of the Spirit? The Holy Spirit. Why is it that sometimes we know this, we know it's the Holy Spirit, but why is it that sometimes you just can't seem to get something from the Holy Spirit? We all know that it's the Holy Spirit. That, I mean, I can read this verse. Even before I read those verses, you know that the Holy Spirit always reveals and points to Jesus. He gives us revelation. He's the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. That He enlightened our eyes to know, have knowledge of the knowledge of Jesus. We know this, but why is it that sometimes we seem to struggle getting the thoughts of God rather than and struggling with our own thoughts? All right, because those things are received by the Spirit, not by the flesh. So when we are wrestling with our own thoughts, when we are very highly opinionated in many ways, I think if you've been reading a lot of books, you get pretty highly opinionated very quickly, right? And so these thoughts gets in the way. Is it God's thought? Is it my thoughts? What are we thinking? But the Holy Spirit. So what I'm saying here is it's not something that we receive by the natural eyes, like I read from Isaiah, not by the natural hearing of the ears. Now, like we've talked about this morning, we look at what's happening around us, lockdown and all these things. Do we allow what we see with the eyes and hear with the ears make our judgment of how we think or what we understand or what are we hearing? What are we seeing? What is the Spirit saying behind all of this? And I think you've heard many messages in the course of time during this pandemic. All right? And I need not to echo those messages again. But I hope that if you can't remember, go back to some of those messages because they're still relevant today as they were a year ago. Lock in with Jesus. Shut in with Jesus. Spend time with the Lord and so on and so forth. Positioning ourselves, praising the Lord. Beholding the salvation of God, so on and so forth. Anyway, I said I wasn't going to say it. I just said a few of them. Okay, but here in Romans chapter 8, let me show you this now. And all I'm saying to you this morning, as much as I'm saying it to me, we have and we must turn to the Holy Spirit. But how often do we talk to the Holy Spirit or depend on the Holy Spirit? How many times have you and I gone out to do things, even works of God, even serving the Lord, or even doing good things, and without really, really depending on the Lord, without depending on the Holy Spirit? Romans 8, verse 21, well, we'll read from verse 26. It says, likewise, are you with me so far this morning? Okay, now the thing is we have access, but we want it, right? We've got to tap in the right source. If we are going to trust in our own intellect by the eyes and the ear, hearing of our ears, that's where we fail. Romans, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings and that cannot be uttered. Now, this really hit me hard recently. The Spirit Himself, everybody say the Spirit Himself. So the Holy Spirit Himself makes intercession for us. So the Holy Spirit is praying for you and for me. You say amen? Is that powerful? So beyond me praying for myself or praying for others, the Holy Spirit Himself is making intercession for me. All right, now, let's continue. Verse 27. Now, he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is because he makes intercession for the saints. So he's praying for me. He's praying for this. How is the Spirit praying? According to the will of God. Everybody say will of God. Verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Let me ask, what is the will of God? And that's where I take you back from the very beginning of this message. What is the will of God? What was the purpose and intention of God when he created man? He said, let us make man in our own image and in our own likeness. And so here, he whom he foreknew, he predestined to be what? Conformed to the image of his son. So when the Holy Spirit is praying for us according to the will of God, what do you think his prayer encompasses? He's praying that Christ would be formed in us. I'm not saying that's the only thing the Holy Spirit, but can you picture this with me, that the Holy Spirit himself is making intercession, praying according to the will of God, because the will of God for every single person is to know him, to be conformed in his image and in his likeness. Now, it's not done yet. Romans 8, 34. Why don't you read this with me now? Are you ready? 1, 2, and 3. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Okay, we're not over yet. Someone else is making intercession for us. Who is that? Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. Where is Jesus? Sitting at the right hand of God. He's in heaven. And he's making intercession for us. But then the next question is, where is the Holy Spirit? In us. He's also making intercession for us. But in us. I hope you get that, because that's, wow. When you think about this, when you quote a verse like this, he who is in us is stronger than he who is in the world. We have a lot of backup here, because Jesus himself, who is in heaven, makes intercession for me in heaven. The Holy Spirit makes intercession for me in me, because the Holy Spirit dwells in us. He says, do you not know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? And so what am I saying here? I'm saying that the Holy Spirit is working in me what Jesus is praying or interceding in heaven. Okay, let me say that again. I hope you get this. Is Jesus what Jesus is interceding in heaven? The Holy Spirit is also interceding the same thing, but he's working it in us because he's in us. Wow. I hope that that amazes you as much as, you know, I think it's a powerful statement. I think it's a powerful thing to know that not only Jesus is praying in heaven, but the Holy Spirit. So this is what I'm saying here. Everything that Jesus has done, everything that Jesus is praying, interceding, he's doing the work he's doing in heaven for us. Now remember, Jesus is not, he's not like doing anything, just sitting on a cloud doing nothing. He's actually interceding. This is one of the things, one of the ministries of Jesus in heaven, among many other things. But everything that Jesus does, the Holy Spirit takes it and he works it in the inside of me. So if I want to work out those things that God is working in me, it is those very things that the Spirit has freely revealed to us. It's the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit, the praying, the intercession of the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? Oh Lord, help us to see this morning. That not only you, Jesus, are praying in heaven, the Holy Spirit, you are working those very things in the inside of us. Would you give us eyes to see the wonders of what you're doing? You didn't ask us to work what Jesus has worked. You said the Holy Spirit is working this in us. And we are then to work out what you work in. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So can I say this as well? In Philippians, it talks about, what does it say? Work out your salvation in trembling and fear, right? Work out your salvation, because it is he who works in you. Is that right? Do you know that verse? I hope you know it. I'm not going to turn there, because otherwise it's going to take too much time. But it is he who works in us, we work it out. The Holy Spirit is working it in us. So how do I access those things, the thoughts of God, Holy Spirit? So all I'm saying to you is, do you see the need of the Holy Spirit? I hope that's the sense that I want to give you and I this morning. How can I do it without the Holy Spirit if he's the very one making intercession in me, for me, in me? Wow. And he's working those things in me. If I allow this work and I partner with him, surely there will be more success than defeat, wouldn't there? Wouldn't you think so? If we did that, there would definitely be success, victory. Let me go to the next point here. One in word. I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17 to 20. And of course, I can't do, you know, there's so much more. I think that each of these points are probably messages in themselves, but I'm going to keep it rather brief for today. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17 to 20 says, "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Everybody say, be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God, the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here again, in all things, giving thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. One in words. First, I want to say this. I want to be one with the Word of God. Because being one with the Word of God will be that same word that shall not depart from my mouth. What am I saying? First question I want to ask is, what do we speak to one another? Is it mainly gossip? Is it perhaps mainly world news? Sometimes, you know, there's so much going on and you get so excited or so, not excited, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, talking about all these things, political things, you get into politics and you talk a lot about these things. But what are we really talking to one another? Are we going with one another in psalms and in hymns and spiritual songs? You're probably thinking, I don't really want to sing to you or something like that, you know. But do we come with the word of God? Do we come with a word of edification? Am I giving thanks for all things? Or do I only give thanks when something great happens? Oh yeah, great, I'll remember, God is good. Or do I always give thanks for all things? Do I sing unto the Lord? Is the song of the Lord upon my lips only on Sunday when we gather as corporate worship? Is it only in life group or Bible studies? Do I sing songs unto the Lord in my own personal life? I'm not talking about there's a Christian song playing on the radio and I'm singing along. I'm not even talking about that, okay? That's another category in itself, okay? Singing, I'm not saying probably a little, singing is one thing, but to sing unto the Lord is another thing to me, all right? I think that's very different. Do I speak truth? Is the truth on my lips? John 12:49 says, "For I have not spoken," this is Jesus, "I have not spoken of my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak." All right, I hope you're following me so far. One in thoughts, say one in thoughts, one in words. The key is the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't have it on the screen here, but I kind of quickly want to show you this because in the book of John, Jesus is recruiting his disciple. John chapter 1. He's recruiting his disciples. And I'm saying this because I'll confess in a moment. But before I do that, let me read 1 John chapter 1. And basically it's when Philip, he goes and look for Nathanael. In verse 45, I hope you have your Bible, or hopefully it will appear on the screen, but it says, Philip, right, this is very early on in the gospel, right? Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Now, did you pick what he just said? I mean, what we just read? Philip, all right, Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him, we have found the Messiah, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets spoke about." So do you capture that he must have read the Old Testament? He must have read the law of Moses. He must have read the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah. He must have read all of these prophets and say, we have the Messiah we've been waiting for. I've seen him in scriptures. Now, do you think that was revealed to him by the Spirit? I think so. All right? Because if you read about, what's his name? The old man. Simeon, and you talk about these things, it was by the Spirit of the Lord that he went in the temple knowing that he needed to wait and see Jesus, the Savior. But now I want to take you now, since we're already in John, just look at the other side of your page in Luke 24, What was happening after Jesus rose from the dead? After he died and he rose from the dead? Do you think his disciples were in a place of faith and, wow, Jesus is risen, we're waiting for him and we're just, anytime we're going to... Was that what was happening when Jesus died? Yes or no? You get a response from you this morning? No, no, not at all. Far from it. They were feared. They were troubled. But Philip was one of the disciples. Somehow, at the beginning of this, when he first met Jesus, he saw something in the scripture. But somehow here, I'm going to read from verse 38, or from verse 36. It says this, now as they say these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace to you. So here Jesus appears to his disciples, but they were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your heart? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself, handle me and see. A spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hand and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marvel, and he said, have you any food here? For they gave him a piece of broad fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Verse 44. And he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. So the very same Philip who had a revelation that Jesus was the Messiah needed the revelation that Jesus had to die and rise from the dead. How many times have we had something the Holy Spirit unveiled to our eyes as we were reading the scriptures? Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is not the end. That's what I'm trying to say this morning. Can you see? Can you follow what I'm saying here? We can go around and think we have seen it all. No, we haven't seen it all. There's far much more we haven't seen. Even for the disciples who walked with Jesus. I say this because in reading the scriptures, I like to read the epistles. I like to read books from the Old Testament, minor prophets, and so on and so forth. But I must admit, it's not that I don't read them, but the most neglected books that I actually, now you might find it surprising to you, but I'm being as plain as, or at least as honest as I can be, is the most neglected book, the least that I read, all right, are actually the Gospels. Crazy, right? I read Ephesians a lot. I love the book of Ephesians. I read the epistles a lot. I love 1 John, you know, book of Revelation, the book of Daniel. You know, I do read a lot of these things. But I thought, it's not that I don't read the Gospels. I do read the Gospels. Don't get me wrong. But the most neglected books I find in the scriptures that I read, now I know usually it should be the other books of the Bible, but for me I felt like, wow, why is that? Have I come into a place that I think, oh, because every Jesus movie is about Jesus's, the Gospels. Every movie is about, oh, I know that story, not again, you know. It's like, oh, it's so simple. So by the end of it, you're like, oh yeah, I've seen the movie. I know all the stories really well. And I think that's where I fail miserably. I cannot come into a place where I think I know it all. I need to come to a place. Jesus, unveil the scriptures. Give me your thoughts. Give me your word. Let me be one with your word so I can speak your word. Let me take you to the last one here. I hope this is helping someone here. If it's not helping a lot of you, but I hope it helps someone here with what I'm saying. Last one here is one indeed. Okay, let me try and do this. Gentleness, question here. What do we think about when we say our deeds, to be like Jesus? What do you think about? Usually, and this is what I usually think, okay? And you may think differently and that's okay, but let me share from my perspective. And I'm sharing with you in the light of some things that I've heard people say and sometimes even ministers. And it doesn't mean that it's wrong, but I think it's just limited. Sometimes we think about gentleness, being kind, compassionate, being gentle, being good, being generous. And do you think that's part of being like Jesus indeed? Absolutely. I don't believe for one moment that these are not included or they are least important in any way or least in rank. I believe they're very, very important. But what else did Jesus do when you talk about the deeds of God? What did Jesus do? And this is where I was talking to you. This is the challenge. I want to be one in thoughts. I want to be one in word. But I want to be one in deeds. But if all I think about deeds, is being a nice person, then I've missed a lot about Jesus. And that's where I have to go back to the gospel and says, well, what did Jesus do? What did Jesus do? Luke 4, verse 16 to 19. So he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And his custom was he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. He was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. He's going to read from Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Now, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. What for? For what? "Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim the liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." He didn't quite talk about being kind and being gentle and being patient. I mean, like I said, I believe these are the deeds we are to reflect in our lives, but I hope I'm taking it a notch up. And this is what I'm saying. This is the challenge that I am facing right now. I'm thinking to myself, how can I say I want to be like Jesus, but if I don't lay hands on the sick, if I don't pray for the sick, what is it to say I want to be like Jesus? If I'm not preaching the gospel, then what? How can I say that I am wanting to be like Jesus? Actually, I think it's very far from being like Jesus. Jesus went about doing good, casting out devil, healing the sick. Does that make sense? I want to see more in my life. Am I satisfied with my current place with my walk with God? Fine, I'm reading the Bible. Great, I'm praying. Okay, I'm meditating on the Word of God. But there's something that must be stopping me to be like Jesus if I'm not going out and doing all these things. How can I truly say I'm one in thought with God if I won't even do it? Maybe I'm not really that one in thoughts. Maybe I'm not really at one in the words that I even say or speak. I'm not just preaching to you, I'm preaching at me right now. I'm telling you, these are the challenges that I feel like, this got to be real. This has got to be, when I pray for someone, am I actually believing? I mean, I can't tell you enough how many times, you know, you pray for someone and you think, oh, should I ask them whether, you know, how do they feel, or should I just brush it off and just move on to something else? I mean, I'm telling you, sometimes this is what runs in your mind. Because sometimes you're too afraid that someone may not get healed after you pray for them. I don't know, but this is how I feel. So how can I say I'm one with in thought, one in word, and one in deed? Am I truly? Let me end with this. I'm telling you the challenge I'm facing. I'm telling you I want to be like Jesus, but not in just knowing scripture verses. I want to know him really so I can act like him. I want to walk and talk and act like a Jesus. Let me end this with you. And I think the whole point, and I'm in a way, perhaps I'm provoking you here a little bit, but how did we start this? How do we become like Christ? By the Spirit of the Lord. So how much time do I give the Holy Spirit? Do I talk to him? Do I depend on him? Do I rely on him? Let me end it with a picture. I'm going to read a passage of the scriptures here, and perhaps not a place we turn a lot, but believe it or not, we're going to turn to the book of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 4. And don't worry if you don't get what every single verse means. That's not my purpose. My purpose is to bring you out a message from this. Now, from Zechariah chapter 4, there's one verse. If there's any verse in the whole entire book of Zechariah, there's one verse that many of us always quote. We sing about it too. You guess what it is? "Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord." I just want to bring context a little bit in this morning, and that's why I'm going to read chapter 4. Are you ready? Can you put your seatbelts on? We're going to read it. Okay, again, if you don't get every part of the verse, that's not the intention. I'm going to highlight something here. Now, Zechariah, one of the prophets, he receives a vision here. Look what happens. And now the angel who talked with me came back and wakened me, and as a man who is wakened out of his sleep. And he said to me, what do you see? So I said, I'm looking, and there's a lampstand. I'm going to get a little bit slower here. There's a lampstand of solid gold. And by the way, maybe before we read it, just put the picture. Is there a picture there somewhere? By the way, if you can, maybe, can you see this? Is it too, is the light, lighting all right? I hope you can see this. This is a picture form, a representation, a visual representation of what that vision looked like. Can you see a lampstand, golden lampstand? Then there's a big bowl above it. Then there's seven pipes to the lampstand. And then there's two olive trees on the right and on the left. And connected it to the branch, there's a golden pipe to the bowl. So everything is connected to the bowl. The bowl has oil. And the oil supplies, all right, to the trees and to the lampstand. That's the picture of that chapter here. Can you see this with me? So there's a lampstand and there's a bowl. Let me go back to Zechariah chapter 4. So I said, I'm looking, and there's a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top of it, and on the stand seven lamps with seven pipes to the seven lamps. Two olive trees are by it, one on the right side of the bowl and on the other left, and the other at its left. So I answered and spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, who are these, my lord? The angel who talked with me answered and said to me, do you not know what these are? I said, no, my lord. So he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Now, who is Zerubbabel? Zerubbabel was one of the guys who came out of the Babylonian captivity, and under his leadership, they began the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem when they came out of Egypt. So Zerubbabel is that man. Zerubbabel is a man who came out of the captivity from Babylon, 70 years of captivity. He goes to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. He's the man, all right? And he's also part of the ancestry of Jesus. He's part of the line of Judah. Now watch this, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth a capstone with shouts of grace to it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands also shall finish it. Then you shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. This is what I want to say. Out of this picture here, there's the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. What is Zerubbabel called to do? He's called to build the temple of God. What does Jesus say he's going to establish? I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Here you have a picture of Zerubbabel laying the foundation of the temple. But not just the laying of the foundation, he says, not only are you going to lay the foundation, but you are going to complete it. The same hands that began the work are the very same hands that are going to complete it. Can you see this with me? But how? This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. This temple shall be complete. Now let me bring it to us here. Who is the temple? We are the temple. Who is building? We're not talking about Zerubbabel here. We're talking about Jesus. How? This is the word of the Lord, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Can you say amen? So let me turn to you now. Final scripture here. I'm going to close here in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing. Thank God I can be confident, not in myself, but in this thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will also completely complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Who began a good work? Jesus, by the Spirit. Who is going to finish the work? Jesus, by the Holy Spirit. Not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. I want to be like Jesus. Say with me, in thought, in words, and in deeds. hope that you get that sense this morning. I recognize, how can I live life without acknowledging the Holy Spirit? I'm asking, Lord, I've got to definitely grow in this. I've got to depend on you. You know, I've been working on the, let me say this as a sort of finishing off point here. You know how I've been doing the Daniel videos. Some of you have watched the first half of it or something like that, or a few chapters anyway. I'm still working on those. They take a long time, and obviously I haven't had a chance to do much of it. It's just been a very different year, 2021. But nevertheless, I started doing some work on it. But I remember many times when I would, I'm doing something that I felt the Lord was, you know, was in it. You know, but after in it, it became a lot of, I mean, if you know the amount of, I mean, and I'm not saying, and I'm not trying to say this to put myself up in any way, but if you can understand the amount of work behind the video editing and the recording, and knowing that I'm not a very good, not that great reader, the amount of pronunciation I got to work on and re-record certain words, when you listen to it, you thought, man, this guy is saying it without any mistakes. I'm not really saying everything without mistakes, far from it. Just sounds that way to you because of the editing, of course. But what I'm trying to say to you is, you know, after a while, after working on 9 chapters, it's about, I don't know, about 20 videos or so, and about 10 minutes each. And after doing this, after a while, you just go at it and you're working on it, and you feel like you're serving God, you're doing a lot of work. But I realized something. I said, well, I'm doing these things. How many times did I say, Holy Spirit, I'm about to record here. Give me the grace so my tongue doesn't blah, 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 when I'm speaking. Sometimes some of the simplest words, Sabbath, and then when you go to the next word, it comes out funny, and you're like, oh man, I got to say this again. And in fact, sometimes I still think it's funny, but I can't help it, so it comes out the way it is. But I'm like, how many times do I commit it to the Lord? And as I'm writing the script, am I really saying, Holy Spirit, I mean, I got all these thoughts here and all these things. I've got it all laid down. I've done the study. I've read and I've done all these things over the years. But like, lately I'm coming to a place I'm going to say, well, I'm going to record you. Holy Spirit, I really need you. As if I depend on you, I can cut the time short in half. And I'm finding it is. All I'm trying to say to you is, we need him. We need the Holy Spirit. And if this one thing that I'm saying of everything that I've said, that's what I'm saying. We don't know it all. We don't have all the revelation that we think we have, we may have. We don't have the power. So I'm going to end this with I think there's a final screen here. Why don't you verbalize this with me? Say one in thought, one in word, one in deeds, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. I hope it resonates with you some way. Now, how do you take this back and say, how am I gonna really take this? The whole thing I'm saying to you is we have to just simplicity, just talk to the Holy Spirit, go back to the Holy Spirit. I'm going to do anything. I am going to depend on the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to do it by my own strength. I recognize that I'm not there. I recognize I cannot do it. And unless the Holy Spirit, who is the one praying in me, for me, interceding what Jesus is done for me and interceding for me in heaven, then surely that is the way that I'm going to make it. Can you say amen? Why don't we rise to our feet, and I'm going to ask the worship team to come down here.